Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening to the Mind Over Murder podcast.
My name is Bill Thomas. I'm a writer, consulting producer, and now podcaster. I am now trying to use my experience as the brother of a murder victim to help other victims of violent crime. I'm working on a book on the unsolved Colonial Parkway murders, and I'm the co-administrator of the Colonial Parkway Murders Facebook group, together with Kristen Dilley.
My name is Kristen Dilley. I'm a writer, a researcher, a teacher, and a victims advocate, as well as the social media manager and co-administrator for the Colonial Parkway Murders Facebook page with my partner in crime, Bill Thomas. Welcome to Mind Over Murder. I'm Kristen Dilley.
And I'm Bill Thomas.
And today we are taking you through the probable cause document in the case against Alexander Ray Baldwin III, aka Alec Baldwin, on the shooting on the Rust set in October of 2021. Now, we covered this case, did we not, Mr. Thomas?
We did, around the time of the original accidental shooting. And as we'll point out as we go through the document, there are two people who are being charged in this case, Alec Baldwin and the armorer, who's the person responsible for weapons on the set, who's named Hannah Gutierrez Reed, and she's referred to a number of times in these documents. These charging documents are drawn up in parallel for Baldwin and for Gutierrez Reed. You'll see as we go through it, it recaps the original accidental shooting as well as the steps that the investigators took to try to determine who was responsible.
And for anybody who may not remember the incident on the Rust movie set that did result in the injury of director Joel Souza and the death of cinematographer Helena Hutchins. So we're going to go ahead and dig into the probable cause document here. And it starts, first of all, with a synopsis of the shooting itself. So if you forgot what happened on the Rust set in New Mexico, you're about to get a nice refresher course.
We'll also include links to the documents themselves and a good article that we feel summarizes the case to date in the show notes.
And we'll do what we did with our probable cause document reporting for the Idaho 4. In this case, I'll go through, we'll both do some color commentary, and because Bill does have his background in entertainment and show business, he is going to be able to provide a lot more insight into certain things than I would be able to. So I'm going to let him take the lead on some of this. So this is the State of New Mexico, County of Santa Fe, First Judicial District Court, State of New Mexico as plaintiff versus Alexander Ray Baldwin III, defendant. And this is a statement of probable cause. It starts with a background and synopsis. On October 21st, 2021, in the County of Santa Fe, State of New Mexico, a shooting involving a handgun revolver firearm occurred that resulted in the death of Helena Hutchins and the serious injury of Joel Souza. The shooting involved a .45 caliber revolver and occurred on a Western movie set located in rural Santa Fe County, referred to and known as Bonanza Creek Ranch, 15 County Road 45, Santa Fe, New Mexico, 87508. On this date, being filmed and or rehearsed at this location, was a film at the time named, referred to as Rust. Through interview statements and evidence, it was learned that defendant Alexander, Alec Baldwin, hereinafter Baldwin, was the lead actor in the film. Through these interview statements and physical evidence, it was also learned that Baldwin was involved in and named as a primary producer of the film. Through these same statements, interviews, and evidence, it was determined that after lunch on October 21st, 2021, the crew, production staff, camera crew, and actors were preparing for a scene set in the church. This was not an established rehearsal, nor had filming commenced. At this point, Baldwin was seated in what is referred to and appears to be a church on this movie set. Baldwin was in possession of a .45 caliber long Colt caliber revolver type firearm, one of a type and kind often used and or seen in or on Western genre type movies or sets. The firearm is a single action revolver handgun, which requires the cocking of the exposed hammer, which then rotates the cylinder, and then the pressing of the trigger is required to fire the weapon. In front of Baldwin, standing, were victims Helena Hutchins and Joel Souza. Hutchins and Souza were viewing and moving a camera for a possible setup for a later scene to occur at a later undetermined time and date. Through these same statements, interviews, and physical evidence, it was learned that Helena Hutchins was the director of photography for the film and Joel Souza was the director-writer for the film. Information and evidence obtained showed that Baldwin was seated in a pew facing in a northerly direction toward the front of the church. In front of him was Helena Hutchins and Joel Souza and a camera operator along with other crew, i.e. sound, script, costume, etc. Baldwin was wearing a shoulder holster, right-hand draw, which was securing, holding the .45 long Colt caliber single-action six-shot revolver. Baldwin was practicing drawing and pointing the weapon for the scene with guidance and instruction from Helena Hutchins and Joel Souza. So, Bill, is your understanding, like, at this point, wouldn't the armorer be on set for a rehearsal, or is that not necessary,
The armorer, Hannah Gutierrez-Reed, should have absolutely been on set. Now, according to the articles we've read and the legal documents that have been filed, supposedly due to COVID-19 restrictions, she was not on set in the church setting. I think that's a huge mistake. Supposedly she was outside the building. I find this really hard to believe that they would actually be handling a real gun in what should be a rehearsal situation. So first of all, the gun could have easily been a rubber gun, literally a gun made of rubber. If all he's doing is practicing and setting up for a future shot, there's no reason for him to be using a real gun. Further, if he is using a real gun, she, the armorer, should be on set, and she's not. And I think that's a massive mistake on everyone's part. And they get into more detail about how the gun ended up being handed to Baldwin. But I'm seeing all kinds of problems just in the first few paragraphs of this description.
The setup was to be a close-up on Baldwin and the firearm as he drew the weapon and pointed it. Hutchins and Souza were viewing the practice scene on a monitor attached to the camera. Baldwin drew the revolver from the holster, pointed it at Hutchins, and fired the weapon. When reviewing the script and witness interviews for this particular scene and close-up shot, evidence indicates the scene shot did not require the weapon to be fired. It was also determined by consultation with expert armorers that in a rehearsal, a plastic gun or replica gun should be used as no firing of blanks is required. Just like you said, Bill.
And there's a key phrase used here, expert armorers, which we'll get into in just a minute.
However, Baldwin fired the single-action .45 long Colt revolver, resulting in the discharge of a projectile that struck and traveled through the right armpit area of Hutchins, exited her back from the OMI, Office of Medical Examiner's, official report, then struck Joel Souza in the right shoulder and lodged into his right back. At approximately 1:48 p.m., the shooting was reported to Santa Fe County Regional Emergency Communications Center via 911. This resulted in the response of Fire Emergency Medical and Santa Fe County Sheriff's Office personnel. This further resulted in a case number, CAD incident number, being generated, 202-007949. The Santa Fe County Sheriff's Office conducted an investigation into the shooting under this case number as a death investigation. Detective Alexandra Hancock was assigned as the primary investigator. The response of emergency personnel resulted in Joel Souza being transported by ambulance to St. Vincent Regional Medical Center, located at 455 St. Michael's Drive, within the city limits of Santa Fe, New Mexico. Helena Hutchins was transported from the scene by air ambulance helicopter to the Level 1 Trauma Center at the University of New Mexico Hospital, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hutchins was pronounced deceased at approximately 3:37 p.m. by attending medical personnel. Joel Souza was treated and released, but not before a projectile was removed from his back. The projectile appeared to be a lead projectile of the type and kind found in live ammunition. This item was secured and turned over to the Santa Fe County Sheriff's Department. For anyone who's not familiar with the difference between blanks, dummy rounds, and live ammo, can you fill us in on that, Bill?
Sure. What is commonly referred to as a blank is actually a bullet casing, which is designed to create the sound and look of a gun being fired, but without pushing the lead head of a bullet, the business end of a bullet, out through the barrel. Now, as we talked about when we discussed this case previously, actually, Brandon Lee was killed in an accidental shooting involving what was supposed to be a blank round. So blanks themselves are dangerous. They are not, however, supposed to be fatal as a live round would be. And then a live round, of course, is that same brass jacket that we've seen if you've ever handled a gun or watched any kind of action movie. You'll see the brass casing with the explosive inside and then a lead projectile, which is fired forward. And that's the thing that does you harm if you're on the business end of a gun. And then dummy rounds are basically, they look like the brass casing that would fit inside a revolver, but they have no powder at the business end. One thing about these guns that are used in these old-fashioned Westerns, unlike a situation with a more of a contemporary weapon where you wouldn't really be able to tell whether it was loaded or not, in those cylinder-type revolvers, which is the thing that revolves and gives that type of gun its name, you can see if there's something in the revolver as it turns around. So in order to make those Westerns look more accurate, they do use these dummy rounds. And as they're describing how a revolver of that type works, and you think again about old Westerns that we might have watched on movies or television, you see the situation where the shooter is fanning over the top, bringing back the hammer, and then pulling the trigger. It actually takes two hands to fire a gun like that. And this is where you cowboys wildly shooting with their one hand on the top of the gun, cocking it back, and then, of course, the trigger finger pulling it forward. So it actually requires two hands to fire a gun of this type.
And there were not supposed to be any live rounds on set. Is that correct?
It is correct. And this is an incredible violation of safety protocols. And this, you have to put this directly on the head armorer. This young woman who was the head armorer, this was only her second motion picture or television project for her to be involved as an armorer. Her father is a legendary armorer who worked on hundreds of movies and television shows. She is 25 years old. She's grossly unqualified, and she has allowed all sorts of violations of safety protocols. And one of the biggest is that there are 200 to 300 rounds of live ammunition, which were permitted on set, which is never supposed to happen because you never want real guns and real ammunition to be on a motion picture set, because this is how accidents like this happen.
So we'll finish with the synopsis, and then we're going to get into the actual probable cause. So wrapping up the synopsis. As noted above and confirmed by the evidence and analysis, the recovered projectile first struck and then passed entirely through Helena Hutchins and then struck Joel Souza. There was no evidence that the bullet ricocheted or struck any object or person before striking Hutchins. The projectile then penetrated through the front of Joel Souza's right shoulder and became lodged under the skin on his back. The Office of the Medical Examiner, State of New Mexico, listed Hutchins' cause of death preliminarily as gunshot wound of the chest after conducting an autopsy on October 22, 2021. The following additional information and evidence is provided in further support of probable cause of the enumerated crimes having been committed by Baldwin. All right, so the subhead for this is firearm, ammunition, and Baldwin as actor and shooter. Statements and evidence show Baldwin was not present for required firearms training prior to the commencement of filming. Statements, depositions from OSHA, and evidence show Baldwin was provided only minimal training on firearms, even after Reed, that would be Hannah Gutierrez Reed, the armorer, requested more training for Baldwin. In the deposition taken from Reed, she stated Baldwin had very limited training on the cross draw that was required for the scene on the 21st, and limited training in firearms and how to check his own firearm as to whether it was unloaded or loaded, in which Reed felt it was very important in his role on Rust. A training session for at least an hour or more in length was scheduled, but the actual training consisted of only approximately 30 minutes, as according to Reed, Baldwin was distracted and talking on his cell phone to his family during the training.
Okay, red flags going off all over the place.
Yeah.
Here's a situation where we have 25-year-old Hannah Gutierrez Reed in her second project involving responsibility as a head armorer. She is supposed to enforce the rules regarding guns on set and off. I think she's completely out of her league. Not only is she terribly inexperienced, she's also supposed to go up against 64-year-old movie and television veteran Alec Baldwin, and she's basically supposed to tell him what to do. That's her job. She's supposed to insist that he attend a safety class, that he practice with this weapon, that he put down his damn phone and stop talking to his family, where he's obviously completely distracted by whatever's going on, not paying attention to what it is that he's supposed to be paying attention to. Further, the Variety article, which we'll also send along with this podcast, clearly indicates that Baldwin was supposed to attend safety training offset with no distractions and practice with the weapon offset. And he failed to do that as well. So we have this woman who's clearly in over her head, and she's supposed to tell Alec Baldwin, who, by the way, is also a producer on this film, which makes Baldwin Gutierrez Reed's boss. He's the one helping
signing the paychecks.
Signing the paychecks, exactly.
Oh.
And you can see this guy who's apparently been in at least 40 motion pictures and television projects that involved guns. So he actually says in the interview with law enforcement that he considers himself an expert when it comes to guns. Wow. So she's going to have a terrible time enforcing the rules and making him do what he needed to do, which led directly, I believe, to Helena Hutchins' death. Can spout all he wants in television interviews about the fact that he's somehow not responsible for this death. I actually think he could be found to be responsible for the cinematographer's death. And you're already seeing it, and we're only a short way into this 9-page document.
Back to the document. Baldwin approached responding deputies on the day of the shooting, wanting to talk to them because he was the one who, quote, fired the gun. He was referred to and later interviewed by detectives. Baldwin later asserted that he never fired the revolver and that it had just, quote, gone off. Baldwin made this assertion public as well in multiple media interviews conducted after the shooting. Many media interviews and law enforcement interviews were conducted by Baldwin, and he displayed very inconsistent accounts of what happened during the incident when firing the gun that killed Hutchins. Photo and video evidence from inside the church on the day of the shooting show some of the rehearsal up to and including moments before the shooting. The photos and videos depict the above-described actions of Baldwin prior to the shooting, practicing drawing and pointing the weapon. The photos and video clearly show Baldwin multiple times with his finger inside of the trigger guard and on the trigger while manipulating the hammer and while drawing, pointing, and holstering the revolver, which is a huge no-no, am I right?
It is, and this is where Baldwin's spouting off in multiple media interviews, claiming that he never fired the gun, as we talked about over a year ago when this incident took place. This is all going to be recorded. Now, only some of this may end up appearing in a film. There are going to be dozens and dozens of takes, and there's going to be film and video and still photography going on for virtually every moment on set. So those moments are all going to be captured. So that fanning motion that we talked about where you take your one hand and cock it back and then pull the trigger with your other finger, it's very evident that all of this is captured for everyone to see. And if this goes to a jury trial, they're probably going to see this video, which is going to show very clearly he did fire the weapon. So his claim that he didn't fire the weapon is absurd on its face.
And then he was like, okay, a gun just went off. So here's where I like the FBI going, yeah, that's not how it works. The revolver involved in the shooting was seized by detectives as evidence. It was later submitted to the FBI crime lab for examination and analysis. As part of that examination, the FBI conducted a malfunction function check of the revolver. This involved trying to get the weapon to fire without the trigger being depressed, i.e. striking the hammer at various multiple angles against a solid object and striking the hammer of the revolver with an actual hammer or mallet. The revolver did not malfunction, i.e. fire when it should not or accidentally. This analysis clearly showed that the weapon could not accidentally fire. For the weapon to fire, the trigger had to have been depressed or pressed. The analysis additionally included testing of and documentation of the sear engagement points of the hammer as it is moved from the position of at rest all the way down against the frame at its lowest position through each engagement of the single action hammer mechanism. The firearm possessed 1/4 and 1/2 cock position safeties and were found to function as designed, i.e. keeping the hammer from striking a cartridge primer without pulling the trigger. Additionally, at half cock, the cylinder was partially rotated, making it impossible for the hammer and attached firing pin to strike a primer. So you're a lying liar, Alec Baldwin. It didn't accidentally go off.
No, and the gun functioned as designed, and they were not able to recreate any situation where the gun went off by itself.
I'm picturing an FBI tech sitting there and actually bashing this thing with a hammer.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what they said they did. And it's not firing. I mean, I'm sorry, Alec Baldwin, but you're a flat out liar. The FBI additionally analyzed various types and kinds of ammunition seized from the scene, including the prop track. This included dummy rounds, blank rounds, and suspected live ammunition, all of which Bill explained. A total of 5 suspected live rounds, 1 spent casing of a live round that was discharged, causing the shooting, were seized by investigators. Evidence and statements indicate that aside from what Hannah Gutierrez Reed, armorer, may have brought to the set with her, all weapons and ammunition, blank dummy, for the production were obtained from a supply company in Albuquerque, PDQ Arms and Prop LLC. Detectives investigated these facts, including service of a search warrant at the place of business of PDQ Arms and Prop in Albuquerque, who was the supplier of the dummies and blanks to Rust. Several suspected live rounds of 45 long Colt caliber cartridges were seized as a result, some supplied by the company owner to investigators, and some found at the place of business. These rounds were submitted to the FBI for comparison with the suspected live rounds found at the shooting scene. The explosives chemistry examination of the rounds showed that the smokeless powder in the live round found at the scene did not match the live rounds seized from the props or arms supplier in question. This means the live rounds on Rust did not match the rounds explosive chemistry taken from PDQ Arms and Prop.
Reporting states that there were 200 to 300 live rounds that were brought in a can and that may have been made by another company for use on set, which is a complete violation of protocol. But apparently, Hannah Gutierrez Reed allowed some cast members to practice using live ammunition. Again, a huge mistake. It is believed that somehow this live ammunition has gotten mixed in with dummies and blanks. And this is why you see language like suspected live rounds, because it appears that someone, and it may even be Hannah Gutierrez Reed's father, was actually manufacturing some of these live rounds. You're listening to Mind Over Murder. We'll be right back after this word from our sponsors.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We're back here at Mind Over Murder.
The FBI lab determined that the five suspected live rounds recovered at the scene of the shooting were indeed live rounds, each possessing an unfired primer, powder, and bullet as part of the cartridge. These five rounds were found by detectives and crime scene techs while processing the scene. The five unfired rounds were found in the following locations. One from SFSO Lieutenant Benavides' patrol vehicle that he had seized from Reed upon his arrival. Two from the top of the armorer's cart, including the one spent live round casing. One from a bandolier on the cart. One from Baldwin's holster located inside the church. One from an ammunition box located on the armorer's cart. Along with the casing and fired projectile, there were a total of 6 45 live rounds that were discovered in various locations on the rest set.
And this is what I was saying. This is such a blatant and stupid violation of protocol. There should have never been live rounds. And you can tell from this description, it's like a jumble of different types of ammunition, live, blanks, and dummies. And it sounds actually very confusing. There are different kinds of bullets, even on the armorer's cart, which is right outside the church set. And that's where the weapons are supposed to be left whenever they're not being used. And of course, they're supposed to be locked up anytime in the evening and even during the lunch break. That cart is supposed to be secured. And the cart sounds like it's a mess with all different kinds of rounds and a very dangerous situation starting right there. And this is Hannah Gutierrez Reed's primary responsibility as an armorer is for the safety of all on set.
Right. So now we're getting into issues with Alec Baldwin as an actor. Evidence further shows that Baldwin, as an actor who has extensive experience in the film industry involving firearms, failed to demand at least two safety checks between the armorer and himself and witnessing the handling of firearms by a first assistant director. Standard protocol is the armorer is to show the actor the firearm, pull the bullets out in front of the actor, and demonstrate there are no live rounds, but dummies, in the firearm. Baldwin knows this is standard safety protocol, as he has mentioned it in media interviews and in law enforcement interviews. Reed did not do this protocol in front of Baldwin. Baldwin did not object to this action. Reed discusses in her interviews with OSHA and law enforcement this should have occurred. Reed also acknowledges in her interviews she should have been in the church with the firearm at all times. Instead, she left the church while Baldwin was in possession of a firearm in close proximity to the cast and crew. Baldwin further acknowledges that it is standard protocol for armorers to stay with the firearm at all times in the media and interviews. Finally, Baldwin directly pointed a firearm at Hutchins and Souza. Whether guided by her directions or not, Baldwin knew the first rule of gun safety is never point a gun at someone you do not intend on shooting. In addition, always assume a gun is loaded. Had Baldwin performed the required safety checks with the armorer, Reed, this tragedy would not have occurred. In addition, if Baldwin had not pointed the gun at Hutchins and Souza, this tragedy would not have occurred. They just laid it right out exactly as it is.
And you can see they're going to be building a case against these two individuals for failure after failure.
This reckless deviation from known standards and practice and protocol directly caused the fatal shooting. By not receiving the required training on firearms, deviating from the required duties of checking the firearm with the armorer, letting the armorer leave the church against protocol, deviating from the practice of only accepting the firearm from the armorer, not dealing with safety complaints on the set, not making sure the protocol of safety meetings was occurring, putting his finger on the trigger of a real gun, not using a replica firearm for the unscheduled rehearsal, pointing the gun at Hutchins and Souza, and the overall handling of the firearm in a negligent manner, Baldwin acted with willful disregard of the safety of others and in a manner which endangered other people, specifically Hutchins and Souza. Baldwin clearly should have known of the danger of his actions, which led to the death of Hutchins.
Pretty much lays it out.
Yeah, can't say it clearer than that. The next subhead for this is Baldwin as producer. Industry standards, best practices, common practices, historical practices, policies and or procedures, and union guided policies and or procedures require and or mandate certain members of a filming crew have, assume, or are assigned certain obligations and responsibilities. Industry experts and armorers were consulted for information and evidence in this industry. Baldwin asserted and is clearly shown to be a producer on this particular film. Based on his position, Baldwin, through acts or omissions, contributed to or failed to mitigate or address multiple significant safety violations, issues, and concerns that resulted in multiple noted instances of recklessness leading up to, contributing to, and causing the shooting.
Ouch.
Even if he's going to say, oh, as an actor, I'm not responsible, as a producer, you sure as heck are, buddy. Since the shooting, Baldwin has asserted publicly that he is an expert in the realm of firearms and filmmaking. Investigation has revealed that Baldwin has been involved in at least 40 films or TV productions that involve firearms, with Baldwin either directly handling and firing a weapon or in a scene with firearms being directly handled and or fired by someone else. Further investigation of this list revealed a multitude of instances, either from the movie itself or from the movie poster, showing Baldwin with his finger in the trigger guard and on the trigger, in instances where, according to industry standards and common firearm safety standards, it should not have been. Experts, industry standards, and basic firearm safety protocols and training consider this reckless behavior requiring immediate remediation. Evidence shows Baldwin failed to appear for mandatory firearms training and firearm safety training prior to filming. Evidence also shows Baldwin requested and was afforded a training session on set, and that through statements, the training was estimated to be 30 minutes in length due to the distraction of him talking to his family on his cell phone during the training. The onset and limited time of training does not comport to industry standards, and evidence shows Baldwin was in a position to manage, oversee, commence, and require safety training to industry standards. Baldwin's failure to ensure minimum standards were met is considered reckless in this industry.
It gets worse.
It does get worse. And just when you think it couldn't, there it is. Basic firearm safety protocols and industry standards are provided during this training, which includes basic firearm safety rules and mindset, including but not limited to not touching or pressing the trigger until the shooter is ready to fire and is sure of their target, treating all firearms as if they are loaded, and not covering anything with the muzzle of a firearm the shooter is not willing to destroy. The evidence clearly indicates that Baldwin recklessly ignored these rules on multiple occasions, resulting in the fatal shooting. Here's the part that I like. Evidence shows that the production company hired Reed as lead armorer for the production. Evidence shows that Reed possessed no certification or certifiable training or union card for this practice, and that she admitted she was the armorer for only one film prior to this production, approximately in April of 2021. Man.
This is a low-budget production, and boy, does it show. We'll get into some more details about how the entire camera crew walked off set on the day of this shooting. And when you and I discussed this a year ago or more, I had said I believed that the camera crews walking off the set that day complaining about lack of safety protocols, there had been two accidental discharges, that is, guns going off, they weren't supposed to, and other violations of safety protocols and requiring very long drives, which exhaust camera crews, which already put in extremely long hours on film and television sets. I thought there was a relationship between the camera crew walking off set, and then, of course, now when you see all of these other problems with Hannah Gutierrez Reed, they're cutting corners all over the place on Rust. This is what happens when you cut corners and you don't use properly qualified people for key positions.
The part that kind of made me go, whoa, is that she doesn't have a certificate. She has no training, certifiable training. She has no union card. It seemed to me that if you were hiring someone for this very, very important role on a Western, no less, you'd want somebody who's got all three of those things.
Yes. And as you continue now, you'll see additional problems.
As the producer of a firearm intense film, evidence shows that Baldwin allowed through acts or omissions the hiring of inexperienced and unqualified Reed for this production, failed to mitigate or establish more precautions to protect against Reed's inexperience, or failed to demand the minimum safety standards, protocols, and requirements on set. Reed was assigned by production to be an assistant prop master in addition to her armorer duties. Evidence shows that this resulted in Reed not focusing her entire attention on her primary responsibility as armorer. Evidence shows Baldwin violated industry standards and practices by allowing this reckless and generally prohibited practice, resulting in reckless actions taking place prior to and on the day of shooting. For anybody who may not be familiar, Bill, what does the job of a prop master entail, even if it's an assistant prop master?
They are the people that are responsible for handling all of the props on set. So everything that a set decorator and an art director have designated to create the look and feel on set, they're responsible for securing those items, placing them, and getting the set ready for production. Here we go again. Rust, which is a low-budget film, is cutting corners, and they've actually given Reed two jobs. Mm-hmm. When the armorer job is definitely a full-time job because it's all about safety. As you mentioned a moment ago, in a Western, no less, where there's going to be gunplay in any kind of modern Western, to require her to handle two jobs instead of the one key position as armorer is completely unconscionable. It's just an indication of how reckless, and that's the word you keep seeing over and over again here.
Yeah.
Just how reckless this group of producers, including Alec Baldwin, were being.
And props is a big job. As somebody who spent a lot of time in the theater in my 20s, I frequently took on the role of stage manager, but for one particular very arduous production that I did, I had to be both stage manager and props master. And that was a massive labor intensive job because you are moving every single thing that an actor handles on stage. And you're making sure that it's in the right place. It's set, it gets on when it needs to, it goes off when it needs to. It is hard to do. I cannot imagine telling the armorer, hey, you're also in charge of everything that any actor is carrying on and off the set. That shows that Sarah Zachary was hired as the prop master for the production. It also shows that she was assigned to assist Reed with her armoring duties. Evidence and statements show that Sarah Zachary possessed little to no experience with firearms, firearm safety, armor duties and responsibilities, etc. It also shows that Sarah Zachary was assigned to or allowed to load and unload ammunition and firearms, handle firearms, and act as an armorer when on set with actors and doubles taking possessions of the firearms. Wow.
This is unbelievable.
Wow.
So this woman is actually being required to act as the armorer's assistant, and she knows nothing about guns. And they've got her loading and unloading ammunition, handling firearms, and acting as an armorer when on set with actors and doubles taking possession of the firearms. This is unbelievable. This person has no experience whatsoever and has no idea what the safety protocols are, what the rules are regarding handling weapons. That thing I mentioned before about this bizarre mix of different kinds of ammunition and how dangerous that could be. It sounds like this woman might not have even known what the difference was between a blank, a dummy, and live ammunition.
Evidence shows this was done multiple times and without Reed being on the set as well. Evidence shows that despite the production team's awareness of the safety issues, Baldwin did not address this reckless process or procedure that is contrary to industry standards and safety protocols and commonly understood firearm safety procedures. Oh, it gets worse. Prior to the shooting incident, Sarah Zachary had a negligent discharge while handling a revolver intended to be used by an actor in the filming. This weapon was not Baldwin's weapon, but had similar or same mechanical function and appearance, single action revolver, and was intended for use by the marshals. Statements showed that Sarah Zachary was holding and manipulating the weapon while walking. My God. And she discharged a blank cartridge into the ground next to her foot. Industry standards, practices, and protocol consider negligent discharge, reckless in nature, that require immediate action and or swift mediation up to and including remedial training, demotion, removal from the set, or termination. Evidence shows Baldwin failed to act to address this reckless situation or to direct Reed to mitigate or address the situation.
Unbelievable. And this is what happens when you have people that don't know what they're doing, that are thrown into jobs they are completely unqualified for. This is beyond dangerous. This would have been bad enough before they killed Helena Hutchins with an accidental discharge. This is just completely unconscionable. This is so sloppy and irresponsible. It's completely off the charts.
Also, prior to the shooting incident, another negligent discharge was committed by a stunt double as he was handling, manipulating a lever-action period rifle loaded and left unattended with the stunt performer while in a holding tent. Oh, my God.
This goes back to Reed now, failing to do her job. These weapons are supposed to be secured, locked up, whenever they're not being used on camera. And this is somehow left in a tent where people, in this particular case, a stunt double, is holding, that is waiting out of the sun. How in the world does that happen?
Baldwin failed to act, the evidence shows, to address this reckless situation or to direct Reed to mitigate and address the negligent discharge. Through evidence and interviews, these reckless and serious safety violations were deemed negligent by the investigation, as there was no indication or evidence that the firearm in question malfunctioned at any time. Rather, there is evidence the weapons fired because of mishandling or misuse by those handling the firearm, i.e. pressing the trigger when it should not be. So it's operator error here. It's not weapon malfunction, it's operator error. In his producer's position, the evidence indicates Baldwin also did not act to address the lack of daily safety meetings that are required to be conducted by the first assistant director, first AD. Evidence indicates that on or about the 13th day of filming, only 3 or 4 safety meetings were conducted by the AD. Practice and standards investigated indicate that a daily safety meeting should be conducted with the crew, regardless of the scenes for the day's shoot. The lack of meetings and the lack of appropriate content of said meetings resulted in a climate of recklessness, as evidenced by the conduct of the cast and crew documented through statements and evidence. In addition, no safety meeting was conducted on the day of the incident. Safety meetings were supposed to be listed on the call sheet daily, but were not. Meetings were called randomly throughout the day with no mandatory attendance required. The meetings were impromptu. These meetings should, pursuant to standard protocols, be conducted in the morning prior to the beginning of the day where all members of the cast and crew should be required to attend.
So much for following standard safety protocols.
We still have a couple more pages of this probable cause document against Alec Baldwin to go. So we're going to leave it here for a little bit. We're going to come back to it when we talk about the camera crew resigning and all sorts of other issues that may have played a role in the unfortunate shooting of Helena Hutchins and Joel Souza by Alec Baldwin. That's going to do it for this episode of Mind Over Murder. Look for more coverage on the Rust probable cause affidavit as we move forward. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time.
Mind Over Murder is a production of Absolute Zero and Another Dog Productions.
Our executive producers are Bill Thomas and Kristen Dilley.
Our logo art is by Pamela Arnois.
Our theme music is by Kevin MacLeod.
Mind Over Murder is distributed in partnership with Crawl Space Media.
You can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.
You can also follow our page on the Colonial Parkway Murders on Facebook.
And finally, you can follow Bill Thomas on Twitter at BillThomas56.
Thank you for listening to Mind Over Murder.